So let the people filter in a little bit.
They will. We're.
Give the people a little time. A little time.
We're sneaking in a show.
Well, I had mentioned on the Freudian slip that we might do something tonight. I wasn't sure what was going on yet, but that I was considering it and that we would try to put something together. So
yeah, it's like the covert, like yeah, non-standard.
Well, and I had to explain because, you know, we life, you know, that thing that happens had gotten in the way of us doing some shows. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
what the hell?
You know what? The show happens when it is meant to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
When all the pieces fall in place.
So let's begin this. Fun time, happy hour.
Oh, you're going to do your NPR voice again.
Yeah. Slip into the night. Episode 6. Energies and vibrations. Tonight we will hear a drum solo by Mickey Hart from the Grateful Dead. Every time I hear this music, that's all I can think of is musical stars dreams. And that one of the episodes that I downloaded, like Mickey Hart had just released this whole album that they were showcasing. Mm-hmm. Oh God, I miss my musical stars dreams days. Those were the days. Staying up late on Sunday nights so I could listen to funky music that I couldn't find anywhere else. and then the big CD stores happened. Then you could find anything. I think it was Borders Books and Music that came in here.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Into South Portland. And you could find anything. But before then, I'd go to like the... they would have these little new agey stores in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
That you could find that type of music at. Like, you know, your Yanni's and your Lorena McKennett. And yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and then all your funky stuff, like your ocean sounds and the sounds of the rainforest. I remember buying like a whole CD set of like the sounds of the rainforest, the sounds of rain, thunderstorms, the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love the thunderstorms.
A babbling creek. I would sit and listen to that shit. Listen, I'm a big proponent of going outside and, you know, actually experiencing nature. I've done a shit ton of hiking in my life, as you have. You know, I like spending time outside. But, you know, there are times when you're inside and you want to have that atmosphere, and those things can be good for that.
You know, and it's very applicable to our topic because music is one of those tools that you can use to kind of shift your energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're feeling a little down, you know, I put some upbeat, you know, whatever you like dance music or very energetic music, or if you're feeling a little low and you want to kind of
bring yourself back up,
bring yourself back up. But sometimes when you feel down, you just want to listen to the sad music and just,
oh yeah. Sometimes you delve deep into those emotions. It's not always that you're trying to escape them. Sometimes you're just trying to work through them.
Right. You know, and there's some angry music out there. And so it's kind of like that energy of the music can kind of either help tune you into what you're feeling, or it can help you shift what you're feeling.
Right.
And
there are many different practices out there that focus on on these things, on you know, energies and changing your energies and tuning yourself to different vibrational energies. I know that there was a group, I think it was the Rosicrucians, I think I'm correct on that one, that did a lot of work with vibrational energy. And most any of the types of practices of any type of ritual practices, there's some type of intonement, you know, there's some speaking that you're using vibrational energies when you're doing these things. So it's all applicable in this sense. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, well, they have what's called the solfeggio tones. I'm probably not saying that right, but they are like sounds at specific frequencies that are supposed to kind of evoke certain emotions. And they use that in either relaxation or kind of like using them to rewire your brain. Or also if you're into that kind of thing, that these different tones could work on the energy fields of your body in different way. And they say that a lot of the Gregorian chants naturally were sung at these solfeggio frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find them on YouTube if you want to listen to them. And
yeah, the Gregorian chants are interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget, like, the first time I heard them. I used to have a friend, Tim, and I would I'd go to his house all the time. I'd usually show up. We'd shoot the shit about different stuff. A lot of it was very spiritual in nature, the stuff that we would talk about. We'd usually get fucked up and just go down rabbit holes talking. But I'd come into his house one time, and I'd just hear this. Like, what the fuck? What is this? And he's like, it's a fucking Gregorian chant music. It's fucking really great, man. You know, sit down, check this shit out. Smoke a joint. You know, so I'm just like, all right, you know, fucking kick back at the fucking kitchen table and we fucking, mm-hmm. you know, listening to freaking Gregorian chants and mm-hmm. Some of the stuff that he would introduce me to over there, that fucking, mm-hmm. the music selections was fucking crazy. But that was one of those days where I was just mm-hmm. like, what in the hell is this? But I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, these, the and you can feel it sometimes.
Oh yeah. Especially with like the drumming tracks,
mm-hmm.
the drumming tracks can really, either put you in a different like emotional place or really kind of put your brain in a different.
Well, and with drumming too, there's an instinctual thing in human beings. When we hear aggressive drum beats, like mm-hmm. the sounds of hoofs on the ground,
mm-hmm.
it makes us, it wakes us up. It makes us active because we used to follow the herds of animals, and when when we would hear the pounding of the hoofs on the ground, that would mean you got to get the fuck up and move so that you can get some food so you can eat.
Well, that, and I was also thinking that it's, you know, when you're in the womb, you are exposed to your mother's heartbeat, and it's probably amplified through the amniotic fluid,
mm-hmm.
so that it is a very also. Not just that kind of triggering the primal urge to hunt, because, you know, the herd for those hunter-gatherer instincts of ours, but also kind of a relaxation mechanism, because a lot of, like, a lot of the drumming that I listen to isn't geared to, like, relax you and to get your brain waves in a kind of...
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about those fucking, those real aggressive...
Yeah.
Drum beats, those, you know, the, and you know, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
They get you moving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know Joe Rogan's talked about it before, the fact that this is an instinctual thing in human beings. And that's mm-hmm. why, like, a lot of people will set their alarm clocks to these, like, heavy drum beats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, to get them awake in the morning, because it just, you know, boom, 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 it gets them going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, Erica. How are you?
Hi, Erica.
Yeah,
certainly sound vibration is one of those tools of changing your own energy, of shifting energy, that's really easy to play with and may have been used like since the ancient times. And I think I was reading something that one theory about the Stonehenges is that they were sound amplifiers.
Mm-hmm.
And that the they may have had like tribal things going on, ceremonies, drumming in these stone circles, and the drumming vibrations are bouncing off the megaliths and kind of making a stereo experience for anyone in the stone circle.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of this stuff is, it's about like attuning yourself to these different energies so that you get the benefits of those energies. You know what I mean? Like trying to attune your own body to those energy signatures.
Well, right. I think like basically everything can be broken down to energy or particles of energy. Mm-hmm. But and I think that kind of ties into the kind of the metaphysical thought from Hermes Trismegistus is as within, so without, from the Emerald Tablets, which is speaking about energy. The energy that we have within us is the same energy that's outside of us. However, at a certain point, we kind of want to shift that. And sometimes we want specific things or we want to feel specific things. So how do we shift that energy or tune into certain energies? Like maybe we've talked about it in the show before, the energy of like magnetism and bringing lucky things into our life.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the law of attraction.
Right? I think the law of attraction is that part of that magnetism of how we, there's a lot of
how we bring things, how we bring things to us.
How we
there's a book which I've given to you, which you read, which is Illusions by Richard Bach. And mm-hmm. in that book, I've taken so many little nuggets of wisdom out of that book mm-hmm. over the course of my life. and it talks about all these different things. There isn't a problem in the world without a gift in its hands for you. You choose to have problems because you need their gifts. Mm-hmm. All these different things that are right on the same type of wavelength. The vibrational energy and utilizing vibrational energy is, if you're using any of these types of systems, it's key, because everything's about you're speaking things, you're saying things, you're intoning things, and that's all about bringing yourself into harmony with something. Like I said, trying to tune yourself into that energy. And it's all about that. It's about if you're a witch or you're into Wicca or you're casting some type of spell, you're using these little things. You got to get this certain item or symbol and you say these certain words. You're getting yourself into that mindset, into that. You're tuning yourself into that vibration.
Right. So I see it as using your thought to inform the energetic field.
Mm-hmm.
So you're putting that thought out into the energetic field and and what, influencing that field to bring what you want back into you. Or at least that's a lot of like my understanding of it from reading things like The Secret. Mm-hmm. And like that's a big one of these like manifestation, like law of attraction. Right.
That's the drawing people to you.
Mm-hmm. Esther Hicks choosing and Abraham.
Choosing to have those problems. Mm-hmm. That harkens back to that law of attraction thing.
Right, right. So that it is like what you're thinking about, and you're just bringing more of that into your life. So like the Esther Hicks and Abraham teachings, which I'm not sure I fully subscribe to, but for the purpose of the show, we're talking about is, if you're thinking about good things, you will attract the good things into your life. And you're thinking about not so good things, or you're in a fear-based place, you're going to bring more of those types of things mm-hmm. into your life. And that is the idea of the energies, that the different emotions have different like vibrational levels. So that if you're in a more angry place, you're going to bring more angry into your
life. Well, and if you're more optimistic, you see things more as opportunity. Whereas if you're pessimistic, you see everything as a detriment. a lot of things are mindset and perspective. Mm-hmm. And putting yourself into those mindsets and perspectives. And if you can change that, mm-hmm. and if you can change that using this type of vibrational energy or using the types of symbols that create that for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what these systems can do with that in that way. I think that's how they mm-hmm. they work, is mm-hmm. through these energies. So like when I, okay, so for instance, if I, I'm doing like daily rituals and I'm these normal things, mm-hmm. You wind up, I just got totally thrown off by fucking Steve Alcorn in the chat.
Steve Alcorn joined our chat? Oh my. I can't see the chat tonight,
I'm having a serious discussion and fucking dickhead.
He totally trolled our show.
fucking.
Are you going to throw it up now? Because I can't see it.
He totally threw me off my fucking game. So,
we are going to have we talked about having some vibrator jokes. So,
yeah. If I sit down to do these rituals, my daily rituals, I'm using symbols and or intonations, saying words that are creating this atmosphere for me. Because you're getting into the mindset, okay, now I'm doing this. Now, I'm going to this, I'm addressing the north, the northern quarter. I'm addressing the southern quarter, the east, the west. All of these things put you into that frame of mind. All the symbols that you're using, the symbols that represent earth, air, fire, water, et cetera, are literally just these symbols designed to put you in a different place in your own brain. I personally think that that's what they are. They're a representation that helps you to create this energy.
Mm-hmm. It's like a template.
Right.
Yeah.
And each system has its own little thing, and you can utilize it. They all get utilized the same way, mm-hmm. but they don't necessarily look the same, but they all basically work on the same principles. You're always trying to create some air around you that allows you to have that energy that puts you in that place. Yes, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing the banishing ritual. I'm doing an evocation, whatever the case may be. It's putting yourself in it so that you're not just going through the motions of this thing, you know, because there's such a thing as just like you're going through the motions. You're pointing in the air and you're making all the different, you know, symbols in the air or whatever, but your heart's not in it. But if you're putting yourself into that mindset, if you're getting yourself there, that's what's important.
Right, the intention. And if the ceremony or the ritual helps you with your intention and putting you in the right state of frame of mind,
right,
you are interacting with that energetic field.
Right, and it gives you that energy. You know, I think in a way, like, kind of gives you that energy. You know, we talked about music earlier. You know, there's sometimes when I listen to certain types of music, and for some reason, Enya does it a lot to me. I'm one of my huge guilty pleasures is Enya. And there's some of her songs, the energy of the music, the flow of it, like, it, I can feel it inside me sometimes. Almost.
Well,
on a very deep vibrational level.
Well, and that makes sense to me, you know, from my perspective, where, you know, I think first and foremost, we're energetic beings in physical body vehicles, so that sometimes the energy of the music or the sound or the energy of an experience touches us beyond that physical place, or it touches us both in our physical energy levels and there's the energy level to emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's someone that it's called the Hawkins scale, where they've put the energy levels of emotions on a scale. And, you know, so when you interact with something like that, you can, you know, kind of, they do have some ways of quantifying the energy of an emotion and how a song will touch, you know, will elicit a response internally.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get in more into like the metaphysical part of it, you could talk about how, you know, the ancients, or, you know, especially in like some of the, like the yoga traditions, are talking about the energy field itself, with it being a torus field around the body, and that is a part of the aura, and then you have the different levels of the aura and being generated from the chakra system. And each of those chakras is both associated with an organ system in the body, but also with certain energy levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's different rituals that I had gone over when I was into my practicing, that you would circulate your body's energy through your aura, down through your chakras or up through your chakras. I can't remember which way it was that it was supposed to go. I'd have to look it up, like the direction that you would go with the energies, how you would do it, but you would flow it like around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a way to build that energy field around you. And that's all done to, you know, like I said, to put you in a different place. You're in this place, you're full of all this energy that you're now going to direct in a certain way with all of these symbols and movements and meanings and, you know what I mean? And words. And it just, it releases all of that. That's the whole idea, that you're building all of this energy to release it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that goes back to that thing that you're talking about. Excuse me, with the secret or what you're calling out, you're sending out this energy to attract back what it is that you're trying to accomplish, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the most interesting experiences that I had was when I was taking some classes with a shamanic teacher. So we'll just say I was in shaman school. And so we were doing exercises to play with this energy field. And So we were imagining that we were pulling it really close to our bodies and then expanding it out. And then another person in the class would come up and you would, the person having the experience would close their eyes and the other person would come and see how close they could get and how you could, before you could kind of start sensing that. And you can start to, if you go slow, you can start to feel that person encroaching in on that kind of your energy field of your body. And, you know, as you get closer, and if it's that, if that person is someone that you don't welcome, you instinctively pull away, even with your eyes closed, because you have that kind of sense, you know, kind of like these non-physical, you know, kind of you can feel like either the warmth or their energy coming, you know, and I don't have the, quite the words to describe it, but do you know what I'm saying? It's like when you feel like someone's looking at you from behind and you turn around and
yeah,
there's someone there.
Yeah. Yeah. That there's some science to that. Like the whole, there's like a perception thing that people have when people are looking at them. That is, and that's actually been quantifiable, but they don't know why it is. And that's one that kind of puzzles me. I think it has something to do with an instinctual thing that's left over in our brain where we're picking up on so much information that we don't realize. And it's the reptilian part of our brain that's still, you know, just doing all of these animal things. When it comes to our ability to know or recognize when we're being looked at, even if it's from behind, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I think it's that our body, our senses are picking up on cues. I don't necessarily know if that's a supernatural thing.
I think it, like for me, my perspective is that it is part of the natural kind of electromagnetic field of the human body. So the heart generates an electromagnetic pulse. So we have an electric magnetic field, which is what I think some people interpret as the aura.
Yeah.
And so I do think that, you know, because it has this electrical property and it extends out beyond the actual physical tangible body is this electromagnetic field that we do, some, you know, sense it. And animals do sense it, you know, and this is, you know, the capacity for the body to sense electromagnetic fields may be why birds can migrate, you know, 1,000 miles and they're following a particular ley line. Mm-hmm. To their like breeding grounds.
Yeah.
You know, which is part of this property of you know, the energy of magnetics. With the earth being a magnetic orb with a magnetosphere and different layers of the earth itself, which we interact with in an electromagnetic wave, and then the greater electromagnetics of the solar system, like, you know, how the plasma field works.
Right. And I think that in some ways we can be open to those energies on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know to how much of a degree we can, you know, manipulate or, you know, work with that outside of ourselves. If you get what I'm saying?
Right. Well, it kind of goes on to the idea of what we've kind of touched on different shows of telepathy and telekinesis, right? So telekinesis might be like how much of our thought able to move objects out, you know, without me moving our body,
right?
Using this kind of magnetic electromagnetic field or some other kind of energetic wave that's been projected from our mind. And telepathy is, from my point of view, is how we would have kind of thought-to-thought conversation between two sentient beings through this unified electromagnetic field.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a viable, you know, process to think that it could happen, I guess. I don't know.
We don't have any way to
definitively test it.
Research it, test it. So it's more of a thought experiment of maybe this is how this could happen.
I do think that there are energies that are present on the surface of the earth, or, you know, because of the earth, inside of the earth, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that to some degree we can manipulate and direct and use those energies. But like I said, as far as outside of ourselves, I don't know. For ourselves, like, to direct it inward, to utilize it, that I think is where it's important. Like, to going back to the whole ritual process, you know, this building of energy and releasing of energy and creating this symbolic thing for whatever you're doing, you know, whatever the ritual or thing or case may be, prayer, you know, you create this thing, you know, that you have intention for, and then you release it.
Well, agreed. And I think it's important to realize that almost every single spiritual pathway or religion has a form of ceremony or ritual prayer where you are focusing your energy with an outcome in mind. Whether you're going to the little white church and you're going to pray for someone's health, or that you're going to pray that, you know, you get that next job promotion, or you're going to be at a more, you know, a shamanic ceremony or a Wiccan ceremony, and do something else, but to some kind of an end, that these are all getting into a specific framework to manifest a desire that you want.
Yeah. And like I said, like I've said many times before on this show, I don't think that these manifestations necessarily tend to be the way people think that they are going to be. The way that this stuff works is it's much different. And it's not some magical, mystical power, although it is in a very strange way. It's an understanding. And I think you can do a lot with it for yourself. You can make amazing changes. You can do amazing things for yourself if you really want to direct the energies and do the work. It's because In a lot of ways, like, if you get into these systems and you really put yourself into them, it's sort of like I kind of ascribe it akin to like a Tony Robbins seminar. You know what I mean? You go to a Tony Robbins seminar. You know, I've never been to one, but I've like watched documentaries and shit. Mm-hmm. You know, these people go to these Tony Robbins seminars and like he yells fuck at them and shit, and they get them all pumped up and. They're full of all this energy, you know, and they're all fucking excited, and they want to fucking I want to do something, you know. I've got all this energy, I've got all this intention and all this power. That's what I ascribe it to. It's a lot like that. You build yourself up in your own mind. You create all this intention. You build all this ceremony, and then you know, you're releasing it. You're sending it out.
Right.
I think
sometimes what happens is that we, although try to control the outcome, and I can think of a specific example in my own life where I needed a new car. I had this very specific idea of what I wanted, and I kept trying to get to that end point. You know, I really want a Jeep. I think I should have a Jeep. I'm trying to find the Jeep. And it was totally blocked up, and it just wasn't happening. And then I allowed myself an alternative thing, and I actually got something better than what I wanted, which was, you know, the car that I have now, which I really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was, and for a while, so caught up in a pattern of wanting something specific, it actually slowed down my ability to get something that was really good and beneficial for myself.
Right. Sometimes the tunnel vision of our desire isn't taking us to the place where we need to be.
Right. So ultimately, I needed a car that ran and was very reliable and good in the snow. And I just thought it was option A. I didn't allow for option B or C.
Right.
Until I got so completely frustrated. And then once I kind of got through that frustrated and threw up my arms and said, okay, then I had this opportunity to get this other car that actually ended up being much better for me. And I think sometimes we are creating with our energy, we do kind of like limit ourselves to a way just because of we don't allow for all that potential out there to manifest, you know, right. To kind of like happen.
No, I agree. And I think that sometimes, like I said before, I think sometimes we get too much tunnel vision. Like, mm-hmm. This is my desire. This is mm-hmm. my intention. This has mm-hmm. to be it. This is mm-hmm. what I need to do. You know, and we get too caught up in that.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember being young and my thought process for the whole thing was, you know, this is power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I was like, but I was also fascinated by like the knowledge aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And as I came to understand it, it just was so different than what I had conceived in the beginning. Well, you know, the idea of what I had conceived, this directing of energy that I was doing and what my purpose was with it was foolhardy. It was foolish. It was stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, and in retrospect now, I look back on it and go, oh, you're just a fucking dumb kid at the time. You know, you didn't understand that's what it was, you know, but you know, now that's the way that I see it. I mean, unless something comes along that changes my perception of it, but I see it as, you know, a way that these systems are a way to direct these energies. And vibrations are a big part of that.
Mm-hmm. You
know, like I said, in every single one, you're always like speaking or, you know, saying certain words or, like I said, intoning, not necessarily frequencies, but you're saying a certain series of words over and over, or phrases or whatever the case may be. You know, so the vibrational part of it takes a very big role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're trying to recreate those sounds.
Well, and I think that, you know, the place that you're coming from or the state of mind that you're in when you create affects the outcome. So if you are creating from a happy, joyful place, you know, it will perhaps come from a little bit more easily, or if you're in a more angry place, you know, that will also kind of affect the outcome. You know, and sometimes you are in the frustrated place and you just want things to get better, you know, and, you know, you have to be in a place to envision what you want as your next step or even better.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of gotten to the place, but personally, instead of trying to be in a place of trying to ask for specific things, I just try to be in a place of kind of like a happy love vibration, and just attract happy love things into my life and experience it, which is perhaps a little bit too soft and fuzzy for others, but that's where I'm at.
No, and I mean, hey, it's all about what I think it is. It's all about what you want.
Well, today I'm a happy Zimbabwean alien. So I'm doing a tribute to your earlier show.
Yeah, that was a long one. You know, and I think it's all about, you know, what you want, you know, where you want to go and what you want to do. And it doesn't matter if that's what you want. You know, you want that peace, love and happiness stuff. That's great. You know, and for whatever anybody else wants, that's fucking great. I think as long as I think it falls along those lines of, you know, which a lot of the different traditions use, you know, and it harm none, do as ye will, or, you know, there's all different tenets to that. But.
Well, you know, I just think,
you know, you need to find a path that works for you. And that path may not necessarily be where someone else is. And don't think that you need to put yourself on their path, because your path may be different. And don't think you need to join the flock.
Oh, and I would like to say too, you know, I know, like, here I am, I'm in like the love and joy place, but I'm not always in the love and joy place, and sometimes in the sad place. And I think that all those places are actually valuable and necessary at times. And it's kind of like the, you know, another expression of vibration is color. And you don't say that, you know, red is, you know, for me, red isn't better than green. That's better than blue. And for me, you know, the range of emotions aren't really any better ultimately than another. And in some cases, some of those emotions that or vibrations that we've come to kind of judge as negative are kind of very essential things. And are part of kind of cycles of energy where you build things up and then have to release, and build things up and have to release. So, and I don't want the listeners to think that just because I'm touting the, you know, being the love place, that I necessarily think that that is appropriate for where anyone else needs to be, because if you've suffered a loss, you might need to be in that grieving place for a while. That may be what is completely healthy and appropriate for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, ultimately I think everybody needs to be in like a love place, or, you know, it's just that not everybody is ready to be in that type of a place. Not everybody's ready to be that person. You know, and like I said, many times before on this show, what is true for me may not be true for you. You know, there is what is true, and then there is truth. They are two far different things. And people need to understand that. And that's not to say that they, you know, oh, well, what are you talking about? Like fake news and shit, you know, we're disregarding facts now. No. What it means is that this may work for me, but it may not work for you. And vice versa. Just because something works for you does not mean that it will work for me or for anybody else. Because yeah, I think...
You and I certainly don't always have the same systems that work for us. So.
No, and everybody's unique. These systems are personal. We are individuals. We all experience this life subjectively, individually, apart from one another. We do not experience this life together. While we may physically experience this life together, we experience it alone. and we'll always be experiencing it alone. Our version of our universe is through our eyes and our eyes alone. We cannot see it through anyone else's. We can have people present, but our vision is ours alone. And that's, you know, that's, it is what it is. You know, take it or leave it. Pretty much.
Well, right. And even though I think that there's some merit to the idea of reincarnation, you know, this exact lifetime is the only time you're living this lifetime here.
Yeah.
So it's, you've got to really, you know, be present in making the most of this lifetime, you know, and having the experiences that you feel are right for you, whether it's, you know, doing the, like the 40-hour week plus work week and being kind of a, you know, cog in the wheel, or having a more adventurous lifestyle, or being outside of the norm. But what is it? What is it that you are here to do?
Right.
What, and what makes you feel excited about your life experience? And this is one of those things that I worry about with mental illness, is people are getting caught into a groove that does not match their energy, because they feel their environment is steering them into a certain track that is not actually right for their energy, what their energy or what they want for themselves. And so that doesn't ever really mesh with their energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people force stuff too. All the time. They try to do things that are outside of what they should. They force an energy on themselves that they shouldn't. All the time. And that's unhealthy. I think as human beings in society, we do it to ourselves just by being part of the machine.
Well, I think it's I think some of this like energy stuff works best when you're being very authentic. And it's very hard in our Western culture, in our American culture, to be very authentic, because we
we're fake as shit.
We're
fake as shit. You wake up in the morning, you put a fucking mask on.
Yeah.
And for some people, it's a fucking literal mask. Like for some people, like for some women especially, like they cake it on their fucking face. You know, for some guys, it's the way, it's the image that they portray, you know, and with women too. Or it's the style that they have. It's this fucking mask.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we stripped everybody down bare, you know, I talked about this when I was talking about telepathy on the 40th slip. The idea of this Neuralink thing that Elon Musk is coming out with.
You know, I did listen to that episode.
And the idea of what will happen when they break down these barriers between people's thoughts, and when there are no more barriers and there are no more lies, and everyone is just laid fucking bare. And we realize everybody's dirty little fucking secrets, but then we realize that we all kind of have the same dirty little fucking secrets. So then it, like, we're all scared of that now, but when it's all done and it's already happened, I'm curious, like, what that will do to society when all of those dirty little secrets, when all those masks are stripped away, when all the fakeness of us that we put out every day is gone, and we see each other for what we really are. I wonder what that will do. You know, that's my whole question.
Right. And it, like, for me, like, I'm not waiting for Elon Musk gadget. Like, I use these systems to kind of get to my trying to find my more authentic,
well, no,
essential self.
I think I'm not talking about, what I talk about with that, I wonder what will happen when we all can see each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as ourselves, I think seeing ourselves is insanely difficult. I think it would be far easier for us to look at somebody else and see who they are if everything is stripped bare, and for them to conversely to see us. However, I think because, and you and I have talked about this before, the systems all talk about know thyself. You know thyself, because it's the most fucking difficult thing in the world. Because we have this ego that protects us from ourselves and says, oh, no, you're a good person. No, you're doing the right thing. Everything's all right, man. Everything's
well,
don't worry about it.
And I agree with that and the fact that there's so many outside pressures to do things that are not true to yourself. So you really have to kind of tune into your own inner compass and mm-hmm. be, you know who you are so that you can make those best decisions for yourself.
Yeah.
And most of us are not taught those skills. And I think some people are, I think some people are born at doing it better than others. It's certainly something I've had to spend a little bit of time on unlearning some things so that I could really know what I wanted and not what parents wanted for me, what friends wanted for me, what bosses and works wanted for me. So I had to go through and like unprogram that and figure out, okay, this is what other, is this what someone else wants for me? Is this what I truly want for me?
Right.
But that's some self work and you got to want to put the time in. To like,
it's all about wanting to put time in. You have to put, if you want any of this type of stuff to work, you have to put the effort into it. You can't, like I said, you can't do it haphazardly and just like without intention or without effort. You can't just do this, go through the, it's like going to church and just like saying the words and like, whatever. Yeah, I showed up. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not what it's about. You know, if you're going to practice Wicca or be a practicing witch or a ritual, do ritual magic or be a druid, do those things. Do that. Be that. Don't do it just because it's cool or, you know, because it's, you know, you just like, oh, yeah, this is, just go through that. That's not doing anything for you. That's not going to bring you anything. You know, it's not going to bring you any insight. It's not going to help you. I don't know why the fuck you're doing it if that's the case. Excuse me. But, you know, if you want to do something with it, it can. I think that they all have a beneficial aspect if utilized properly. So. But on that note, Holly, it's been a long night for me. And I think this might have to be a two-part topic.
You have more to say about this?
Well, we talked about the fact that energies and vibrations are... The topic itself is pretty broad.
It is pretty broad.
So I was thinking maybe we should pick this back up on Wednesday.
I am totally fine with that.
And I can think about some other aspects of this we can talk about, and I can look into some of the things that I was talking about earlier. But I was thinking that might be a good idea.
I know. We didn't even get a vibrator joke in there.
Well, you know, I can't always be on the ball. Okay. Long day, but that note, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Slip Into the Night, Episode 6. Energies and Vibrations. We will be back on Wednesday for your enjoyment to talk more about this subject. We hope you enjoyed tonight's not really bonus episode because we've missed a couple.
It's kind of a catch-up episode, right?
The double shot on the 40 and Slip channel tonight.
Semi-secret show.
for those of you out there who have been listening to the show, the podcast, downloading the podcast and listening to that, I appreciate it. The downloads have been great. And yes, we will be back on Wednesday with another topic. Well, with the same topic for you yet again. So until then, good night, everybody.